Hey everybody, my name's John. I'm the site pastor at our Harbor Creek location here at Grace, and I just want to welcome you to Grace Church, especially for those of you who joined us at Christmas at the Warner and you're here for the first time. I hope you know that you are always welcome at Grace Church. Well, as we stand on the edge of a new year, I want you to imagine this situation. You get a phone call this afternoon from your boss, and you pick up and he says, listen, I want you to take the next 3 weeks off. Okay, now if you're a student, imagine it's your principal. If you're a stay-at-home mom, imagine it's someone who can watch your kids for you. But they have the authority and the ability to say, I want you to take the next 3 weeks off. And you say, awesome, I'm in. But what's the catch? And they say, well, here's the catch. You have to spend those 3 weeks doing only one thing. You get to decide what it is, but you have to decide one thing that you're going to do for those 3 weeks. What would it be? I mean, how many of us say that there's something in our life that we wish we had more time for? Now you actually do. You have 3 weeks to do that one thing. What would you choose? Would it be a hobby that you wish you had more time for? Would it be getting in shape or getting healthier? Would it be spending time with a person, assuming that they had the 3 weeks free as well? That means a lot to you, a relationship that you want to invest in. Can you imagine how much progress you could make in 3 weeks? How much improvement you could make? How much stronger a relationship could be? Well, now let me ask you a different question. How many of you in any given day spend at least 20 minutes on like entertainment technology? Whether that's social media or Netflix or sports, watching sports, whatever it might be. Yeah? Probably more than 20 for a lot of us. Uh-huh. Some quick math from the former math teacher here, okay? If you spent 20 minutes every day in 2018 on that one thing, do you know over the course of the next year, 365 days, that's a little over 120 hours, which is equivalent to 3 40-hour work weeks. I know, it's kind of crazy when you think about it. When I thought about this, it reminds me that one of our most precious resources is our time. And what I'm implying is that when we choose to spend it well, it can have a huge impact on the most important areas of our life. But for most of us, spending our time well, making the best use of our time, is a challenge. I want us to consider what it would look like to make better use of our time as we walk into a new year together. And to frame our conversations, we're going to go to Ephesians 5 and read some of the words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus, starting in verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The Apostle Paul is telling the church in Ephesus, the Christians there, to make the best use of their time. Can everyone say the best with me? The best. Awesome. This is what we want, isn't it? We all want to make the best use of our time. And Paul gives some instructions on how to do this. He says, look carefully how you walk or how you live. It's going to require being intentional. He says, be wise instead of foolish, to look at your options and choose the best ones. And then at the end, he says, understand what the will of the Lord is. Earlier in Ephesians 5, he says, try to discern what is pleasing to God. And so we're going to try to figure out what it would look like to apply some of these principles to our lives going into this next year. But here's the reality. Even though most of us want to make the best use of the time, most of us feel like we don't. Most of us feel pretty stressed and overwhelmed at any given point in time, feel pretty busy, and yet we still feel like there's important areas of our life that we're not spending the time we wish we would focused on. Why is this? I think part of the reason is because there are some lies that we believe about our time. Okay, and so I want to just throw out four lies that I've believed about time that you may also believe and then kind of counter them with some truth that is helpful to think about. One lie that we tell ourselves is that there's not enough time to do everything I need to get done. And the truth is you have exactly enough time to do what God expects you to do. Think about that for a second. God will never ask you to do and accomplish more than you have time to accomplish. We might expect ourselves to accomplish more, but God says, hey, I will only ask you to do what I know you can get done in the time that I give you. Another lie we tell ourselves is that everything is important. The truth is that only a limited number of things are actually truly important. That list is a lot shorter than sometimes we think it is. The next lie we believe is that I have no choice. I have no choice in how I spend my time. But the truth is, you are responsible for how you spend your limited time. No one else is responsible for that, not your boss, not your spouse, not your friends, not your coach. You are responsible for how you spend your limited time. And the last lie that it's easy to believe is that I can fit it all in. If I just schedule one thing after another and every waking hour I fill with something, I can fit it all in. And the truth is this, You must say no to good things in order to say yes to the best things. Now you'll see on the screen two circles. It's on the notes you got for the sermon on the way in as well. In the innermost circle are the best things. And you'll see that circle around it is the good things. We are surrounded by an endless number of good things to spend our time on. And it would be easy to busy ourselves with so many good things that there's barely any room left for the best things. And so the challenge that we all face is this, to tell the difference between good things and best things, and then make hard decisions to spend our limited time on the best things. Here's the humorous part about me preaching this message. I'm really bad at this. Okay, if you ask my wife or the people I work with, the people I'm closest to, they would tell you, I am not great at deciding how to make the best use of my time and following through with it. I want to say yes to everything and everyone. I'm a people pleaser, so it's really hard for me to say no to people. I'm really impulsive, so it's very difficult for me to decide ahead of time. Here's how I'm going to spend my time and actually stick to it. But I've seen the difference it makes in my life and in my impact in the lives of other people when I do this. And so I hope that me sharing some of these lessons that God has been teaching me can help you and other people who struggle making the best use of their time, especially in this coming year. Here are a few resources I want to just mention that have influenced my thinking and impacted my life when it comes to saying yes to the best things. Tyranny of the Urgent is an article by Charles Hummel. You can Google it and read it for free. A very helpful resource in distinguishing between important and urgent things. Two books, one's called Essentialism by Greg McKeown, and one's called The One Thing by Gary Keller. Now, a warning, these are not Christian books, they're business books, they're kind of leadership books, but man, they are so helpful in thinking in order of priority and distinguishing those vital few really important things versus everything else and deciding to spend your best time on your best things. And even more compelling than all those resources, as it should be, is the example of Jesus. Let's read this account from his life in Luke 4. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him. And they would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well. For I was sent for this purpose. Jesus lived out Paul's advice to look carefully, to be wise with his limited time, to discern what pleases God, and to do those things. You see in this example that he went to a desolate place, which meant for Jesus, he was going to be alone with God in prayer. And his time with God, I am convinced, gave him clarity on the best things, on the things that please God, so that when he came away from that time, he was able to say no to something really good. He was able to say no to the people who asked him to stay here and preach here and keep teaching here. And he was able to say, I must go, for I was called for this purpose to preach to other towns as well. He had clarity on the best things so he could say yes to those, even when it meant saying no to good things. Jesus lived a life that in such a way that at the end of it, he was able to say this in prayer to the Father in John 17. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. That's what I want to be able to say at the end of my life. And I hope you want that too. That at the end of our days, we could say, God, I knew what you asked me to do, and I did it. I said yes to those best things that you told me to prioritize and spend my limited time on. And so we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at four steps to say yes to the best things. All right, how can we apply Paul's great advice to look carefully, to be wise, and to understand what the Lord's will is, and to spend our time on those things? The first step is this, regularly name and reflect on your best things. Regularly name and reflect on your best things. This is requires looking carefully at our life and distinguishing and asking God for direction. What are truly the most important things in my life? Now, I hope there's a few things that make the list, but I have to give you a warning. When you go to God and say, God, what are the best things in my life? His answer first and foremost will be, I am. God will always tell us that he is the most important thing in our life. Jesus was so clear about this. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so be ready when you ask God to answer this question. He will always say himself first. But other than your relationship with God, what are those other best things that should be on that list? What are those key relationships that you feel called to? People that you want to be faithful, that you want to faithfully love in your life? And that should be a limited number of people, right? Jesus had 12 disciples, and so that list should not be too long. Work and your job should be on that list of best things. Ministry to others inside and outside the church. Who is God calling you to serve and minister to help grow in their faith or to share the gospel with? Your emotional health, your physical health, your financial health. Those are all best things that God calls us to pay attention to and spend time on. Now, here's one that might not make your list, at least at first, and I want to encourage you to add it if it's not already on there. Rest and renewal. We live such busy, frantic lives that sometimes we neglect something that God commands us to do, and that's rest and renewal. To press pause on the rest of life, on work, on other things, and to just rest and be renewed spiritually, emotionally, relationally. If this is something that is foreign to you, that is really difficult for you to just stop and be renewed in meaningful, effective ways, to rest well, man, I would encourage you to attend an event called Soul Care Matters coming up in a few weeks here at Grace. There's information about it in your bulletin. This is going to help you learn how to take care of your soul, how to nurture your relationship with God, how to rest and renew well so that you can do those other important areas of your life well. Okay, so I'd encourage you to put that in your calendar if that's something of interest to you. Once you've identified these best areas of your life, here's two great questions to ask, all right? What do you want each of these areas of your life to look like a year from now? All right, maybe even better, what would you want these areas to look like 20 years from now? All right, so you start looking out in the future, and then the second question is, what can you do this month, this week, or even today to move in that direction? So this is step two. You identify one best way to impact each of your best things. So you kind of have them listed out. Here are my best things. And then you make a second list next to each one. What's one best way to impact each of them? To move me towards that goal, that place I hope this is in a year or really over the course of my life. This is part of what it means to look carefully at our lives. To be wise in how we spend our time. Not just saying, here are my priorities, here are my best things, but here are the actions that I can actually do that will move me forward in those areas of my life, that will strengthen those relationships, that will improve those things. And the reason I say this is because if you don't get specific, you will have general vague priorities with general vague things that you think you should do, but you actually aren't taking action to move them forward. If we're not careful, we'll give lip service to these best things in our life. We'll say, sure, my marriage is important to me. Sure, that this part of my job is important to me. This calling that God's placed in my life, my relationship with God, they're important to me. But are you actually doing the things that impact those well? Now, let me give you an example. If you say that your physical health is important to you, the list of good things that you could do to improve your health is a long list, right? You could eat more fruits and vegetables. You could eat less sugars and carbs. You could go to the gym. You could go start taking walks every day or go for runs. You could start counting calories. But until you pick one best way to impact your physical health, until you narrow your focus, you're likely to just do nothing. You're likely to feel guilty about all the things you're not doing instead of actually taking action and feeling good about the one thing that you can do. Think of another example. How are you spending time investing in your marriage right now? All right, maybe you say, oh, I spend a few hours every night with my spouse, right? We're sitting on the couch watching TV. Now listen, how much does that, I'm in the same boat here, I'm asking the same question. How much does that time watching TV, watching a movie together actually improve your marriage? If you're going to give it a 10 scale, what impact does that have on strengthening your relationship with your husband or your wife? For me, that's like a 2 or a 3. It's more valuable than if we were doing separate things in separate places. But when it comes down to it, that's not that impactful in our relationship. We're spending time together, but it's not the best way to improve our relationship. Pastor Brian shared a few months ago about something he was trying to do with his wife, Rachel. Have a 20-minute conversation every night after the kids were in bed, but before they turned the TV on. To have 10 minutes where each of them could share how their day is going, what's happening in their life, what they're maybe concerned about with each other. And when I think about the simplicity and yet the impact of that conversation, as he described it, I thought about it in my own life. When I make time for those conversations with my wife each night, it has a huge impact on the rest of our marriage and relationship. What is that one thing in each of these areas that would make a big difference and a big impact in moving that area forward and improving that best thing in your life? Once you've identified those, I want you to imagine you clearing your calendar for January. Right? You blank, nothing's on it. And if you placed one by one those best ways to impact those best things, you put those on your calendar first. Some people say those are the big rocks. The big rocks go first. What would it look like to build your life around those best things? Greg McEwen says this is living life by design instead of by default. The Apostle Paul, I think he would say this is what it means to look carefully and to be wise on how we spend our time to make the best use of it. Another analogy that's helpful is to think of shooting a bullseye at a target. If those best things are the middle of the bullseye and the good things are all around, it's tempting to just shoot carelessly. But if you take time to actually aim the arrow towards the middle, towards those best things, that's living an intentional life. You're way more likely to spend your limited time on those best things and to see the impact that God wants to have in you and through you when you do. Now, this is all great theory. It all sounds awesome. Some of you are feeling pretty motivated at this point. Like, yeah, let's spend more time on the best things. This is awesome. Let's do it. But here's the deal. All this is theory unless you're willing to do step three. Here it is. Say no to everything else until you spend your best time on your best things. Say no to everything else until you spend your best time on your best things. And this may sound extreme, but think about this for a second. Every decision has a trade-off. Saying yes to one thing necessarily means saying no to everything else for that period of time. Okay? In simple terms, when you say yes to a shower for 15 minutes, you're saying no to everything else for that 15 minutes, right? That's why I've stopped showering. I'm kidding. I shower at least weekly. All right? Give me a break. But this is the reality of trade-offs. It's something that I really believe we live in denial about. When you say yes to a good thing at any given moment, you are saying no to a best thing. And when a good thing keeps you from a best thing, it becomes a bad thing. Let me say that again. When a good thing keeps you from a best thing, it becomes a bad thing. Let me give you an example, okay? Email, checking my email. That's a good thing. It helps me care for people. It helps me make good ministry decisions. It helps me work with the people I do ministry with well and communicate well with them. But when I choose to get my phone out, when I'm at home at night with my wife and kids, and I choose to check email instead of being present with them, that good thing has now become a bad thing because it's keeping me from a best thing. I hope that makes sense. It's been really helpful for me to start to see areas of my life through that lens. When is a good thing keeping me from a best thing? We have a powerful story, an example of this in Luke 10. We're told that Jesus goes to visit two sisters, Martha and Mary. And Martha is like the hostess with the mostest. She's busy getting the meal ready and cleaning up and setting the table. And her sister Mary is sitting listening to Jesus teach. And Martha starts to get frustrated with her sister. She's thinking, I'm doing all the work around here. And my sister's just sitting there doing nothing. And so she doesn't go to Mary. She goes to Jesus. And she says, Jesus, how come you're letting my sister just sit there and listen and not help me? Tell her to get up and do something. And this is Jesus' response to Martha. He says, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. It's powerful. Martha was doing good things. She was serving Jesus. And all of us, if we were in her shoes, probably would have chosen the same thing, to be preparing the house, to be doing those things that we knew were good and honoring to God. But in this moment, she let a good thing keep her from the best thing. The good thing was distracting her from doing what her sister Mary was doing, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach, being in his presence. How often do we let a good thing keep us from just being in the presence of Jesus? When a good thing keeps you from a best thing, it becomes a bad thing. And now if you're serious about making some changes in your life, if you're serious about trying to put best things ahead of good things, I want to encourage you with a simple sentence. Okay, this is a commitment you can make to yourself, you can make to God, right? We're not trying to be legalistic here, but helpful in changing the way we think about best things and good things. Here's the sentence. I will not do this good thing until I do this best thing. I will not do this good thing until I do this best thing. Here's an example. I will not eat breakfast until I read my Bible. Now, breakfast is a good thing. You should eat your breakfast. But what if you put reading your Bible first as your priority to start your day? Okay, and other examples. I will not eat dessert until I go to the gym. I will not go shopping until I budget for the month. I will not turn on the TV until I have a quality conversation with my spouse. I will not do the laundry or dishes or other chores until I play with my child. I will not go on social media until I spend time in prayer. We will not attend my child's sporting event or activity on Sunday until we go to church as a family. Are you willing to disappoint your kid's coach or even your child when you say no to their game on Sunday morning so you can say yes to church? Are you willing to miss out on the texts and social media updates on your phone so you can say yes to being fully present with your best friend? Are you willing to say no to everything else in order to say yes to the best things? For me, one of the really practical things that I've had to embrace is saying no to my computer until I say yes to time with God in my morning. That I was in the habit of getting to work and opening my computer and being like, you know what, I didn't spend time with God yet, but you know, I'll do it later. And guess what? Later never came. And so for me, when I get to work, and this is my time, I find my chair time, before I get my computer out and open it, I need to open my Bible, spend time in God's word and in prayer. I will not open my computer until I spend that time with God. And it's helped me keep first things first. It's helped me keep my relationship with God ahead of my ministry. And so what do you need to say no to in your life in order to say yes to the best things? What do you need to say no to in your life in order to say yes to God first? All right. I hope you're fired up. I hope you're excited and optimistic about some of this stuff. I want to end with being really realistic about this, okay? This is step four to saying yes to the best things. Focus on improving one best thing at a time until it's a habit. Why only one thing at a time? You should probably know from experience. What happens when you try and tackle all the best things at once? Trying to make significant improvements in several areas of your life. You probably make very little to no progress. At least that's been my experience. Give yourself permission to really focus in on that one area of your life that you feel like God's saying, this is the most important thing to improve right now. It does not mean that you neglect the other things, right? It doesn't mean that you just stop spending time with other people that you love or stop doing and going to work. It just means you give yourself permission to give more attention and focus or your best energy into focusing on improving that area of your life for right now until it's a habit, until it no longer requires the same level of self-control, willpower, motivation to choose to do that thing. And why do I say until it's a habit? Because the people I admire most have built habits around their best things. They've made a habit of date night with their spouse. They've made a habit of quality time with their kids. They've made a habit of alone time with God or being in a life group or serving in ministry. They've made these things habits so to make sure they come ahead of other good things in their life. And so here's some tips that I've picked up when it comes to building habits in my life. Hopefully they're helpful to you. The goal is to be really practical as you try to prioritize one of these best things in your life. If you're trying to build a habit, schedule it first. Schedule it early in your day when you have the most motivation and the best energy. Ask for God's strength and self-control and ask Him to change your heart. Ultimately, if you try and do this on your own, you're probably not going to get very far. But if you ask God to give you strength, self-control, to change the desires of your heart to truly want these best things that He wants, that's the way to go. Number three, ask someone to hold you accountable until it's a habit. I realize in my life, my pride can be the barrier to my progress. That I overestimate my ability to make improvements and positive changes, and I underestimate my need for God's support through people. That He's brought people in my life to stand in my corner, to cheer me on, to hold me accountable. Shame on me if I don't invite them to play that significant role, to spur me on towards love and good deeds. Here's what this looks like for me. This could be helpful for you. When I'm really trying to build a habit or make a change, I tell that person, here's exactly when I'm trying to do this thing. Here's when I'm trying to spend time with God each day. Here's when I'm trying to go on a date night with my wife. And so I can tell them after it's happened, every time I'm trying to do it, right? Whether that's every day, once a week, once a month, I text them, hey, done, did it, got it, spent the time, whatever it is. And I give them permission. Sometimes I even ask them to check in with me if they don't hear from me. And so if they know I'm supposed to have that time with God that day and they don't hear from me, they can text me and just say, hey, did you get time with the Lord? If they know I'm supposed to take my wife on a date and that night comes and I didn't do it, they can text me and say, hey, were you able to take your wife out? Did you schedule it yet? Whatever that might be. I'd encourage you, invite support to someone who can encourage you and hold you accountable as you make improvements in that one area of your life. We already said this, but it's worth repeating. Say no to everything else until you do that. Focus on that thing that you're trying to improve. And lastly, and this is so important, Walk in grace when you fail. This journey for me of striving to say yes to the best things, the things that I feel like God's calling me to, the things that I feel like God's saying, these are the most important things, give your best energy to these. This journey has been one full of failure, full of struggle, full of disappointing myself, of not living up to my own expectations and feeling like I'm falling short of what God's asking me to do. And if I'm not careful, I can start wearing that shame in such a way that I withdraw from God, that I start to feel like He's so disappointed in me that He doesn't want me to be talking about these struggles anymore. He's kind of just done with me trying because I've failed so many times. Here's the truth. When Jesus went to the cross, when He gave His life, He knew that I would struggle and fail when it comes to making the best use of my time. He knew that I'd put my ministry ahead of my family often. He knew that I'd put other things ahead of Him. And yet He still gave His life for me. He is so eager to show me the grace and embrace me to say, listen, I love you even when you fail. I forgive you no matter how many times it takes to grow in this way. I'll forgive you every time. And so the invitation is to receive and walk in the grace of Jesus, to let Him pick you back up, and to let Him give you the strength by His Spirit to keep going and to keep growing, to not give up, but to walk in grace and walk in the power of Christ. That's our invitation as we stand on the edge of a new year, as we look forward to 2018 and think, man, what are the possibilities if we make some changes in how we spend our time, if we were able to say yes to the best things this year? And some of you are really motivated right now. You're feeling great. You're like, yes, I'm ready, John, let's do this. But here's the scary part. You've probably been there before, like I have, hearing a talk, hearing a sermon, having a conversation. You're like, yes, I want to make a change. But if you don't get specific, if you don't take action now, today, if you don't actually decide, man, what are the steps I'm going to take, then this might be short-lived. Nothing might be different come next week or come a month from now. And so we're going to spend a few minutes answering a few questions in hopes that being specific, having some time to reflect and pray would give you a chance to really make some progress in these areas, to really say yes to the best in 2018. So if you could get out that piece of paper you got on the way in, grab a pen near you in the pew in front of you, and for the next few minutes, just spend time answering these questions. Now, I hope some of you are like, man, I need more time, John. I need to get away and be alone with the Lord to really figure out some of this stuff. That's great. I hope you do that today or sometime this week. But for now, whatever God's been putting on your heart during this message, start there. Okay, you can change it later, but just this exercise of thinking in specific terms about these questions gives God permission to start moving us in the direction of saying yes to the best. I pray that God guides us and blesses us as we strive to make the best use of our time, as we strive to put the best things ahead of good things, and that we'd see the fruit and the impact in our lives and the lives of the people that we love. Happy New Year.